Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Fibronio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.
Nature never produces anything considered useless or worthless. Everything goes back into the cycle of life by implementing in its own way the concepts of recycle and reuse since the beginning of time. By contrast, human productions and consumption is an open cycle that doesn't clearly connect to recycle or reuse activities, leading to what we call waste and pollution. Since the introduction of plastic by Leo Hendrik Baekeland on 1907, the material not only marked a new era of world commerce and manufacturing, but also the beginning of an exponential problem of solid waste and plastic pollution affecting cities, the wildlife, environment, water bodies, and humans. Millions of metric tons of plastic enter the ocean each year and, unless are not recycled, will last forever. The impacts on marine species such as sea turtles, whales, seabirds, fish, coral reefs and coastlines are numerous, going from entire beaches full of plastic to the supermarket and your plate as fish eat microplastics and then we do. Is there a way to rid the world's oceans of plastic trash? Welcome to Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More weekly podcast. My name is Rossella Biagi and I will be your host for today. In today's show, we will talk about the problem of solid waste and ocean plastic pollution.
I got an idea!
In my opinion, this is the simplest definition of waste. Unwanted or unusable materials that are discarded after one use, long term, or not used at all. There are several types of waste, such as wastewater, hazardous, or radioactive. Today I'm going to focus exclusively on solid waste. Solid waste is the garbage originated from home, such as bottles, cans, food leftovers, glass, dust, newspapers, and so on. According to the 2012 World Bank report on solid waste management, the world's cities generated 1.3 billion tons of solid waste per year. That is about 1.2 kilograms per person per day, and is expected to increase almost twice by 2025. It's ridiculous.
The current world population today, January the 18th, 2018, is 7.5 billion people. I understand your point that we, all human beings, are waste producers, but I would like to know how waste generation is influenced.
That's a great question, Rossella. Waste generation rates are influenced by a number of causes, such as country, geographical location, culture, weather, GDP, and degree of industrialization.
Very interesting.
Let me break this down for you. Each country behaves in completely different ways about waste management and recycling. For example, let me share with you the Sweden's recycling revolution story. Back in 1975, only 38% of the household waste was recycled. In order to improve these numbers, the government invests on awareness recycling campaigns, strict recycling regulations and policy, and better communication between citizens and authorities. Today, more than 99% of all household waste is recycled in one way or another. Most Swedes separate all recyclable waste in their homes and deposit it in special containers near their home or at recycling stations.
The ultimate goal of any government should be to avoid the generation of waste. And if waste is generated, it must be prepared for reuse, reused, or recycled.
Just have a look at Finland or Germany. Both countries are reaping the benefits of supportive, encouraged, and open government talks towards recycling practices. Effective national waste plans and achievements are a consequence of a strong recycling culture over time. However, this doesn't happen overnight and requires a lot of work from both parties, the citizens on changing habits and, you know, investing a few more bucks on home trash cans and bags, and the government to help or smooth out the transition period in any possible way. For instance, if we look at some countries in Africa or Asia, The lack of infrastructure, waste collection trucks, and culture make recycling activities almost impossible.
So you are basically saying that only developed countries recycle?
Not exactly. Let's have a look at Italy. During the winter break, I traveled to Brescia in North Italy, and I saw this fancy waste container near the city center. As I got closer, I noticed that a sort of box-form capsule was integrated on top of the container, and a device to insert a card was next to it. I have never seen anything like it in my life.
Tell us more.
How does it work? First, you have to go to the Solid Waste Management Authority office to get your card. Then you have to classify your waste in 6 different types, which are paper, plastic, glass, metal, organic, and unsorted. For the first 4 types, paper, plastic, glass, and metal, classic waste containers are available to all public. For organic and unsorted, you have to go to the fancy containers.
Okay.
You insert the card, the capsule opens, then when you put the bag inside, the capsule calculates the weight of the bag, and that's it. This is for tracking the waste footprint of all citizens. In this way, people pay exclusively the taxes correspondent to the produced waste. By doing this, citizens' behavior is improved dramatically, sorting in a conscious way each piece of waste. And all credit goes to the regional authorities for being serious about recycling. However, this doesn't apply to the whole country. For instance, Perugia is not so strict about recycling, and, you know, in South Italy even less.
And what about Mexico and the United States?
Well, I have read that Mexico is making progress on plastic recycling, but in regard of solid waste, I will refer to my sweet home, Monterrey. The chances that you can recycle rely most of the time on where you live. For example, the recycle truck comes once a week to new urban developments to pick up the plastic, glass, paper, or even electronics. In new apartment buildings, it's not mandatory, but if all inhabitants cooperate, the monthly maintenance bill can drop to 20%, so that's a good deal. And as far as I know, in other parts of the city, the service is either intermittent or doesn't exist at all. In the United States, it's not mandatory to recycle. It's actually difficult. There are laws put into the Environmental Program Agency for companies on how to discard solid waste. Waste trucks come once a week to cities, but there are places in the country that have to take it to the dump or burn it because the truck doesn't come out that far.
Excellent facts. It's time to listen to My Voice 120. We will be back very soon in communicating disaster risk reduction science and more.
Hello, I'm Andrea Spasiano. I have a master's degree in management of cultural heritage at University of Roma Tre in Italy, and I currently work on digital mapping and GIS for landscape and cultural heritage projects. The landscape is an expression of cultural identity shaped by the interrelationship between human action and environmental surroundings. In other words, the landscape is an expression of different cultures, traditions, and land uses consolidated over time. The Italian landscape is a masterpiece of nature, and its beauty, rich history, cultural heritage, and archaeological sites are world recognized, concluding 53 UNESCO World Heritage Sites. The Ministry of Cultural Heritage and regional administrations in Italy have the responsibility for the recognition and protection of the values that characterize the territory. Certain regulations state that urban developments cannot be constructed near archaeological sites, or funding must be distributed to UNESCO sites for refurbishment purposes each year. GIS and geographic data play an important role in regional planning activities, including the identification of the landscape and its strategic resources and the potential risks that could threaten or damage the integrity of the site, such as natural weather conditions or human-related behavior. Open geodata and institutional web platform cannot be undervalued by the government. Efforts and investments are needed to increase the participation of citizens in these fields. GIS and digital mapping are the cornerstone of several initiatives in the fields of open science and active citizenship, bringing to the table endless possibilities of analysis, dialogue, knowledge, understanding, and awareness of the development and management of territory, landscape, and culture. And remember, active citizens build resilient cities.
We are back in Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More. According to Andrea, geographic information systems and digital maps are crucial to have a full picture of the landscape and urban development over time.
GIS technologies are helping decision makers to better understand the territory and the cascading effects of protecting places of interest such as UNESCO heritage sites or leaving existing features as they are. Italian citizens are particularly proud of their heritage, and you know better than anyone that it's necessary to protect and preserve all masterpieces of history, art, and culture for us and the future generations.
Exactly. Our second topic is the shocking impacts of marine plastic pollution.
Plastic pollution was first noticed in the ocean in the late 1960s and early 1970s. Ocean currents concentrate plastics in five subtropical gyre, or better known as the ocean garbage patches. In other words, zones with high concentrations of plastic waste circulating near the ocean surface. Two patches are located in the Pacific, two in the Atlantic, and one in the Indian Ocean. Once trapped in the patch, it will break down into tiny, hard-to-detect plastic particles, like confetti, that spread over time. Microplastic particles have been detected pretty much everywhere in the oceans. Unlike obvious harmful effects of big pieces of plastic to marine species like whales, albatross, and sea turtles, the impact that microplastic has on the marine food chain are still unknown. Only recently we have started to pay attention to this issue, but we can certainly say that nothing good comes from it. Personally, I will be extremely disappointed if dishes such as fish and chips, steamed blue crabs, or my favorite, clam chowder, go out of the market because of potential risk of eating seafood.
Well, I think we all be okay. So, my last question for today is, which countries or international organizations are working to clean the ocean?
I am definitely not an expert in this topic, but I do know about the ocean cleanup. The Ocean Cleanup is a non-profit organization that is developing advanced technologies to clean all seas. Bojan Slat founded the Ocean Cleanup at age 18. According to the website, it estimates to be able to remove 50% of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch in just 5 years' time, starting in May 2018. The donations and money obtained from the first expedition will finance more projects to continue cleaning the ocean. I believe the government of the Netherlands is one of the main partners of this initiative.
In today's show, we talked about the importance of recycling solid waste from our homes. Several examples were provided to demonstrate the differences of waste management policies and behavior depending on the country. Ocean plastic pollution needs to be stopped, and countries should join efforts to invest in new technologies and methodologies to clean our oceans and save our seafood.
Next week, we'll talk about the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're interested in establishing a potential collaboration with us, please send me an email to francisco.pena@unistrapg.it. Don't forget to visit our website, waredoc.unistrapg.it. New content, workshops, and events are about to be launched in the following weeks, so stay tuned and follow our social media platforms in Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram as Waredoc or Francisco Febronio Peña. And remember, active citizens
build resilient cities.
Goodbye.
Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Febronio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.
Faccio radio perché mi piace pensare che nel mio piccolo possa aiutare le persone.
Faccio radio perché voglio che la mia voce venga ascoltata.
Faccio radio perché amo l'informazione.
Faccio radio perché mi tiene compagnia.
Faccio radio perché credo che la buona comunicazione esista ancora e debba partire da noi.
Faccio radio perché amo fare radio.
Festival delle radio universitarie italiane. Per chi ama fare radio. Cagliari 10, 11, 12 maggio 2018. Scopri il programma su fru18.it.